May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Do we have some mourning people in the congregation? Are there a few mourning? Afternoon people? Evening people? I don't know if you are aware of this, but most people understand that it's profitable to speak to me after 9:30. It's not that I'm trying to be unkind. I'm just not really conscious. Until I have enough caffeine in my system that's replaced most of the blood flow. And once that's set, I'm ready to go. And that is an important fact this morning for the following story. It was in a previous parish, and it's appropriate. The individual's name is not spoken out loud. I really mean it. I can't tell you who it was. Showed up, and he had a stack of books. And if you ever want to read a book that will scare the living daylights out of you, read a book called Blood Moons. If your life isn't confused already and have enough questions, this will add some new questions to your mind. And that's not always a bad thing. I think it's important to keep us in process and thinking. Anyway, he showed up with a stack of books, and it was an 8 o'clock service. Now, what have I just told you? I am reading the liturgy, every word. I cannot form an original thought at that stage of the day. And so he hands me these stacks of books, and this is a very intelligent man, somebody who's incredibly gifted. And he said, everybody needs to read these books because Jesus is coming back in 3 weeks on a Friday at 4 o'clock. And we need to gather that day and be ready for the rapture. Something inside of me snapped. I'm not sure what it was, but I knew for sure that the appropriate response was silence. I completed the liturgy, and I whispered to him ever so gently, this is neither the time or the place for this particular gesture. We'll talk later. And then he did what most Anglicans do when their priest speaks to them. He handed out the books and asked everybody to gather a few weeks later for the second coming. You know one of those headaches that hit you on both sides with the force of two large cymbals? I had one of those immediately. And I walked up to him as gently as I could, and I said, why did you do that? And he said, because you're wrong. Well, I had already heard that early in the morning before I left the house, and so I was familiar with the phrase. I left it alone, but I spoke to each of the individuals that had been at the service. I was busy all week doing what we call in pastoral ministry, disaster cleanup, where you encourage people to have more information. But you try and balance that with a discussion, some questions and some answers. Why do I share that with you today? Because in the reading, it appears what you're hearing about is the second coming. And I want to give you some historical context in the middle of all that. You need to know that Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and he's like most young preachers. He was brilliant, unlike most young preachers, but he also had youth on his side, and so he could see the whole room really well. Without his glasses. And he could tell what most of them were doing. It's kind of like what you're doing this morning. Some of you have already left me. You left a few minutes ago. You were kind enough to remain in your seats, but you're really not here. Most of you, in the first couple minutes of the sermon, noticed the Christmas tree was already up. And then the banner, which seems to have been moved forward 40 or 50 feet, And other things in the room. It was nice of you to notice that it was Carolyn's birthday, that's true. And of course, as you notice other things around you, you begin to adore the beauty of the place. Some of you went to the parking lot, you stayed in your seats, but you actually went to the parking lot counting the cars, and you're pretty close to counting how many boards are on the roof. And Jesus noticed that about the congregation in front of him. It was kind of like, let's get on with this. And so he played hardball. He played hardball. And he said, while you're noticing all the great stuff around you, just know it's coming down. It's kind of like a preacher that would dare to stand up and say to the congregation, there will come a time where this place won't be here anymore. And you'll rediscover your priorities. Only he was, he might have used a little what we call hyperbole. In the church, it's quotes worth being reported to the bishop. That kind of stuff. And he really went at it. He was telling the truth. You see, Jesus was predicting the end of Rome. He knew that the local worship centers and the whole communities would be destroyed. And he was describing some of that, trying to give them a hint of what the future might look like. And as he's doing that, he also began to explain in his own way the end of time when Jesus returns. And I just need you to know, as you're listening today, that I believe with all my heart and soul that Jesus will return. But I can't tell you it's in 3 weeks on a Friday at 4 o'clock, because we don't know that. We don't know if it's in a few days, a few weeks, a few months, a few years, or many years from now. What I do know is that we are called to do and to be and to speak as if it's happening this afternoon. What does that mean? Some would say, I got to go home and pack. I got some bad news for you. There's no room for luggage. But you might begin to really think about what you believe. What's sacred for you? What's holy for you? What are the priorities in your life? If this was the last day of your life, how would you live it? Some would do this. You know, it's kind of like it's coming to an end. All day. What a profound waste of precious time. When life, every moment of life, is such an extraordinary gift to be celebrated. Jesus wants us to take the time and the energy that we have, not only to be in his word and to be in times of prayer and meditation and in worship together, but to take the relationships around us and to live them with passion. Do not put off till tomorrow that needs to be done today. You see, this isn't a horrible threat. Although Jesus might have been a little irritated that some of the people in the room who were kind enough to remain in their pews but left, we call it in contemporary psychology squirrel. Have you heard the term? It means that you've already left because you got bored a couple of minutes ago. And I understand the concept, but there was an urgency to which what Jesus was referring. Can you imagine if you knew ahead of time, and there's a possibility that he did, that he had a short time in ministry? He had to fit 30 years into 3. There was an urgency to the gospel that people would come to terms with the fact that God loved them and accepted them the way they are, but invited them to grow. And so he warned them. All the stuff you think is important will eventually go away. And what's really important is here and now. And by faith, what you do with the here and the now. Because there will come a moment where Jesus will look at you and say, well done, well done, good and faithful husband. Well done, good and faithful wife. Well done, good and faithful parent. Well done, good and faithful grandparent. Well done, good and faithful friend. You have heard the gospel and lived the gospel every day. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that precious moment. Amen.